The following is a Hoop Ball presentation.
Hoop Ballers! Welcome back to another episode. And another edition of Today in Sports Betting. I am your host, Devin Ellington, or at DALE007 on Twitter. Hey, welcome in, welcome back. New listeners, old listeners, everyone alike. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Like I said, this is Today in Sports Betting, a hoop-ball.com presentation. Make sure to follow at Hoopball Gaming to find the rest of the articles and the team's plays. Also, our team in general. You'll see a lot of conversations and discussions and tweets and all that good stuff involving our guys. Lots of great content to follow. Want to give a shout out to our Hoopball Pels team. Lyle Swithenbank holding it down. Pelicans had a really interesting summer league, had some off-season transactions that happened. Coaching change of hiring Willie Green. So, if you need some Pelicans information, NBA season's right around the corner. Lyle's got you covered. Hoop Ball Pels. Go follow them on Twitter. Also, if you're listening to this now, you are now behind the curve because we have now locked in our new prices on the premium content, the Wager Pass, Fantasy Pass, DFS Pass. We've kind of got a bunch of different packages now. You can kind of just curate your own needs, pick and choose what content you want. And then there's different price points for all that. So, with that being said, keep in mind on those promo codes that you'll hear me talk about in the pre-recorded segment before the show. But in case you skip over it, Hoopball. And this podcast is brought to you by, sponsored by, Manscaped.com. Lawnmower 4.0 came out earlier this summer. I am a proud owner of one. I got this awesome mustache on my face because I use it. Use promo code HOOPBALL, H-O-O-P-B-A-L-L, to cash in on some free shipping and 20% off. And then also, look at their complete care kit. They got a lot of different balms, oils, ointments, powders, all sorts of stuff for the man's face. And not so much the man's face, you know, the man's other stuff too. So Lawnmower 4.0, Weed Whacker, all of it together just makes your grooming tasks a lot less chore-like. Promo code HOOPBALL20. Don't forget that 20 at the end. Then mybookie.ag, you bet, you win, you get paid. Go over to mybookie.ag, use promo code HOOPBALL. Sorry, I had to get me some coffee. HOOPBALL, H-O-O-P-B-A-L-L. Y'all know about mybookie by now. Hear us talk about them all the time. They are our sponsor. Kind of like our rock and our shield, you know? They're a good partner. They support us. They believe in us. As for this entity, me, myself, Devin Ellington, Hoopball Gaming, we got a pretty busy day to unpack. We got a lot of recap, so to say. We got some previewing to do since college football technically starts this Saturday. I don't know if any of you knew that, but it's week zero. So I think what I'll do on this show is I'll probably break down some MLB. I'm really not impressed with the card. And honestly, I've been getting the sour taste left in my mouth every MLB slate because I work hard on these game write-ups and I work hard on doing my research. And then 5 minutes before the game starts, three or four guys can just be taken out of the lineup. This time of the season is very hard to difficulty to handicap and constant news swirling on top of busy parental life with a sick kid and a job, you know, it just some things go under the cracks. And last night we had plays on Matt Chapman props and Jed Lowry props. And literally, you know, 5 minutes before the game started, both of them were not in the starting lineup. I had those lineup looks from earlier in the day, probably like 1 p.m. Eastern. Not super early, you know, so it kind of sucks, but, you know, it's a part of MLB handicapping. And we'll break down today's card. I'm not going to break down everything. Like I said, there are some spots that I'm looking to get at. But then ultimately, there are some teams, and there's a lot of teams playing each other today, where it's just like, I've been really bad on them. Like, I have not gotten a good read over the last week and a half. I thought that I was sneaky last night with Arizona and Pittsburgh. The first five going under five had, let's see, 3 runs scored in the top of the fifth, I think it was. And of course it missed by a, you know, just one by a run. I think they actually scored 7 runs because Pittsburgh got them a solo shot in the bottom of the fifth. Nonetheless, the bet lost, even though it was looking good 98% of the time. And so that was a little annoying. And then Chicago and Toronto, you know, I talked about it in the wager pass. In case you haven't gathered, we had a losing night in the wager pass last night. Chicago and Toronto, I talked about how I was a little apprehensive because of the dominant starting pitching. And lo and behold, Lance Lynn did Lance Lynn things. Alek Manoah continued his phenomenal rookie season. I just thought the collection of bats and the talent was and the health of the White Sox was going to be able to get Rogers Center popping. You know, Toronto coming back off of a road trip, Rogers Center, they haven't really played a lot of road games there this year. Excuse me. That frog just jumped right out. So, yeah, not a lot of home games played this year. They started the season in Buffalo.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think like 3/4 of their games so far in the home department have been played in Buffalo. Canada opened their border back up to their sports team. I think it was last month. Coffee break. So, you know, I can tell you from last night's sour taste and the burn I got, the White Sox and the Blue Jays will not be on my card. Especially since Dylan Cease and Jose Berrios are pitching. Berrios making his third start and with Toronto. So he's still getting the ropes down. I think we're going to see Toronto falter here and kind of fizz out. They just keep kind of falling down further in those AL East standings. The Yankees have won 10 in a row. Tampa Bay's trying to stay at top. Boston, middling. They're kind of in the same department as Toronto. Got off to a bolsterous hot start that's going to be hard to maintain. And with their lack of a first baseman, talking about the Red Sox, obviously Toronto has Vlad Jr. And their pitching, and deep pitching, I shall say, for both ball clubs and relief pitching. You know, I think this is a 2-horse race now, Yankees, Rays. So there are some games I'm going to be looking at. I'm not going to go completely bare and empty on a baseball slate. It's just not like me. Chris Flexen going against Cole Irvin. Excuse me. Lots of frogs in my throat today. Seattle and Oakland. Look, I'm just really not interested. I've done not that great with these two teams lately. I tried again last night with some player props, and both of them just kind of were pulled out of the lineup. So let's go ahead and leave this one alone. Chris Flexen's been pitching really great. He's been such a bright spot for the Mariners this year, coming back over from the KBO. Cole Irvin, he's gotten roughed up a little bit lately. I believe his last start was against Texas, and like the Rangers gave him some fits. So the kid's struggling a little bit. Seattle is weak against the lefties, though. So if anything, I'm just going to leave this one alone because I just don't know. I mean, the total's weird. 8.5 is getting juiced to the over of minus 120, but yet you got both of these pitchers that are pretty dominant. And then Cole Irvin being a left-handed pitcher, Seattle struggles against those. So, I mean, I've got so much conflicting data. I don't trust Oakland right now. They've been losing some games. And, you know, my picks on Tally site have been reflecting that. So I've been trying to support them. I've been trying to support Houston. Houston kind of pissed me off last night, losing 7-1 to the Royals. Royals actually scored 7 runs as a road team. I don't think they've done that all year. Sarcasm, of course, they probably have, but not too many times. And Houston, they, I mean, Zach Greinke got roughed up by the club that drafted him. And I was way, way, way wrong. Had the free play article yesterday. That was a loser. And I had the Houston run line. And then in the wager pass, I think I won one play last night. Yankees, Atlanta, first five under hit, under 5.5. They scored 3 runs. So we didn't get opposite swept, at least. But, you know, it was still a rough night. I think we would have been better if, like, Chapman and Lowry would have played. Those were guaranteed. You know, I had a 2.9 unit play on Chapman over half a hit, you know, just to get one hit. And then Lowry plus 150. I went in and just did a half unit on that one. So that way we could bring in 1.15 units. And that was for him to have an RBI, which he's a left-handed killer, stone cold Steve Austin style. So, you know, he just, they weren't in the lineup. And that kind of sucks. So, Nolan voided those plays, and now let's kind of just move into today. Like I said, 3:35, not looking at Seattle, not looking at Oakland. Arizona, Pittsburgh, get out of here with that garbage. I am not betting you guys anymore this year. White Sox, Toronto, already talked about how I'm going to lay off that. San Fran, New York Mets, we got this. His first name is Steven? Can't be right. I don't know. The resource that I normally use, as I rapid fire through this stuff, decided to make a major update, and it's very not to my liking, and it's just kind of too much now. And I think that it's the Action Network, in case you were wondering. But now I don't even get the pitcher's first name. I just get his first initial. You know, good thing I know like 90% of the starting pitchers in the league, but this long kid, I can't remember his first name. So, I apologize, but he's got 5.72 ERA. Not a lot of starts in the year, obviously. Limited exposure. Tyler McGill for the Mets. You know, I don't have anything to say about this game. The total's at 8.5. This is a pretty pivotal series for the NL postseason push. So I think for anything, this is going to be a good, fun baseball game to watch, at least like the first 5 innings on. Because I think that these pitchers might be able to have a decent go of it. The totals come up from 7.5 all the way up to 8.5. San Fran, minus 105. New York, minus 115. They've kind of flipped on those lines. So Minnesota, Boston, 10.5 is the total right now. You got Garrett Jacks on the mound, Trevor Houck, or is it Tanner? See, this is the problem. Tanner or Trevor. So now I got to have like multiple sources open, resources open, just to be able to determine guys' first names. You know, it kind of annoys me, but I don't like when people try to just do crazy shit with their apps and do all these updates. Like, they just threw like 9 updates into one and completely changed the layout, the look, the flow. In case you couldn't tell, I'm not really a fan of it. Tanner Houck, and it's Sammy Long for San Francisco. Just to clarify. Minnesota, Boston, not really looking at anything. I'm going to wait for team totals to set because we might have them right now. Maybe not. This is before noon on the Eastern Front. Team total for Boston. I'm seeing 5.5 in most spots. I was hoping to get a 5.5. Like, I know it's just an extra hook, but fact of the matter, Griffin Jack's pretty terrible. He's rookie, young kid. Minnesota's bullpen's pretty bad. So 5.5 is just like a really high team total. Texas and Cleveland. Cleveland's been playing pretty well lately. They're back to 500, minus 167 on the money line today. Texas has crept from plus 120 to plus 145, and Cleveland's been hitting against lefties a lot better than what they have on the normal season. Over 9 has come up from the 8.5 on that total. Over's still getting shade of minus 120. My problem with playing overs with Texas is they have zero offense. Now, they do better against righties than they do against lefties, but they're on the road, and they are just like a really terrible team. There's no way to put it, and I don't really want to – you know, I could definitely sit here and say, yeah, oh, yeah, Cleveland's going to score 8 runs themselves because Texas is that bad. But fact of the matter is, on the season, Cleveland does get a downgrade against lefties. They're just major 3 or 4 bats have been doing damage against the last couple of lefties that they faced. So recently, they've been hitting better against lefties. But, you know, of course, if I was to play it, if I was to support it, they'd shit down their sock today. So let's just go ahead and leave it alone and use it as a data point. Let's see what we can get. And plus, they got this Morgan kid on the mound. Eli Morgan, you know, he's not very strong or dominant. So I want to see if anything sticks out for team totals. Cleveland's at 4.5. It's getting shade of minus 135. PointsBet has their team total at 5 at minus 110. So a lot of minus 135 juice out there on the 4.5. And that's that. You know, if I'm going to look at anything, I'd probably look to support Cleveland's team total. Because my team total plays are half unit plays. So just kind of looking at something. Today, Andrew Heaney gets to go against Charlie Morton. The Yankees take on the Braves. Total right now is at 9. And Andrew Heaney alone makes it to where I want to support Atlanta. Charlie Morton on the year, 3.47 ERA, 12-4. Good stabilizing force from the veteran. I think I'm probably going to look at the Braves' first 5 here. Minus 115 on that run line. And we don't have any team totals set as of yet. I'm not seeing anything, but that is something that I'll probably be looking to attack if it's not outrageous. I bet it's going to be like a 5 or a 5.5. But if it's 4.5, I'm wanting to jump on that. If it's 5, there's a chance of a push. There's that insurance. And might just look at taking that. First 5 under 4. I was hoping to get a better number in the Cincinnati and Milwaukee game because we got Tyler Mahle and Corbin Burns going against each other. Dominating pitchers right now. This is an important divisional game. Milwaukee in first place in the NL Central. They are minus 220 favorites on the money line. Their run line is minus 145. That's really telling. Not a lot of belief on Cincinnati today. And 2.5 on Cincinnati's team total. I mean, that's just disrespectful, right? I mean, I know it's Corbin Burns, but like his stuff has been decently bad lately. He hasn't done too much. That's been that great. And my problem is, Tyler Mahle struggles against the Brewers. They got a 250 average on him, a 190 ISO. They got 12 walks to 25 strikeouts. I mean, they still strike out. But, I mean, look, the Brewers strike out. Like, that's what they do. So they're up towards the bottom of the league. That makes no sense. Up towards the bottom. They're towards the bottom of the league in regards to strikeouts. I almost said average because I was looking at the word. So, Corbin Burns actually has some really good splits here against Cincinnati. 12 strikeouts, 6 walks. He's got a 209 average allowed, 320 on base percentage, 326 slugging, which is nice and low, 646 OPS, which is nice and low, 295 WOBA, that's pretty low. 116 ISO is also pretty low. I think league average is right around the 110. So, but look, there's not Joey Votto's got 10 at bats against Corbin Burnes, which is the most. Only one hit. Tucker Barnhart, one hit and 6 at bats. Eugenio Suarez, one hit and 7 at bats. And then Castellanos, Shogo Akiyama, Kyle Farmer, Jonathan India all have one at bat and, or I'm sorry, one hit and 3 at bats. So good early exposure looks for those three guys or those four guys. So Castellanos, Akiyama, Farmer, and India, if they keep their good looks against Corbin Burnes, I think they could scratch one or two across early, especially if Votto just hits himself a solo shot, which is what he just does now. Home runs in general since the All-Star break. It's crazy. Coffee. So, yeah, this is honestly just a good baseball game. I'm really excited for this one. I would say let's do no run first fives, but there is a lot of no run first inning, but there is a lot of power on this team. There is a lot of power on this team. And a solo shot is very, very inevitable in my opinion, especially with how these pitchers throw. They like to throw in the zone. They throw it hard. So I wouldn't be shocked if a solo shot happens within the first inning. Now, what I might entertain and get it looked up and looked at right here real quick, but the fact is that I like unders in a certain way. And I feel that if I look into like the under hits, runs, errors, that could be enticing. So let's see if it's too heavily juiced to play. But most importantly, let's see if there's any value there. And so as I look at this, as it loads, trying to watch water boil right now. So 25.5 is the total hits, runs, errors. Over and under, both getting minus 115 shade. First inning hits, runs, errors in the first inning. Like I said, under 3, minus 165. Heavy juice there. And no score in the first inning is getting minus 125 juice. But like I said, there are just too many solo shot, homer-powered hitters in both of these lineups. And I just feel that with the fastball usage of both pitchers, one of these hitters are going to be able to definitely turn on one. But under 25.5 hits, runs, errors for the full game, I think there's some good value there. I do. All right, moving on from this one into, look, I'm not going to talk about Colorado and Chicago. There's just way too much going on with both these ball clubs in terms of behind the scenes, guys getting sent down, guys not coming back next year, prospects playing. Like these two teams, it's just pretty much messy. So let me leave that off. I'll say that I'm not looking to talk Rockies, Cubs. 7:05. We've got two games that I really like. I'm not sure how I'm going to write these up yet. I'm sure it'll make it into the wager pass in some way. But Tampa Bay, they opened at plus 120, which is very weird. I'm kind of trying to figure this out, this movement. But they opened at plus 120. I think what happened here is that Nelson Cruz moved up from doubtful to questionable, so they'll probably get Nelson Cruz back, but they will be without G-Man Choi, who's doubtful. Tampa Bay, that is, obviously. And Philadelphia, look, they went on that little hot streak, and now they're doing Philadelphia things. They're about to go at risk of getting back to 500, even though they're just two games above. Tampa Bay hits lefties really, really good. The Suarez kid, 1.47 ERA, 5-4 record on the year. Tampa Bay's money has moved a crazy amount. And like I said, they opened at plus money Now they're at mine. It essentially flip flopped. It mirrored. It was plus 120. Now it's minus 120. In most spots, I got minus 123. I like Tampa Bay to win outright. Tampa Bay in the first five. You know, they got their guy Drew Rasmussen on the mound. He's a righty, 3.3 ERA. I think he's probably going to be used as like an opener, mid-range guy. But over 4.5 is getting shade in the first five of minus 115. And the money line in the first five is very, very close. Minus 113 for Tampa Bay, minus 110 for Philly. So I think ultimately I may just want to stay away from that. And then if I look at some team totals, Tampa Bay, they're at 4.5. And that's something that I'm definitely going to roll with, especially against a lefty. They have been doing exceptionally well against left-handed pitching since the trade deadline and since they got Wander Franco called up and paired with some other guys. Randy Arozarena, Lowe. I mean, they got some guys throughout this lineup that are just going to be able to do some damage. And then Philly's bullpen is absolutely garbage still. So Tampa Bay, I love all the Tampa Bay today. Angels, Orioles, Dylan Bundy taking on his old club in Camden Yards, where he used to get shelled every start. So 10.5 is the total. Obviously going to be looking at playing the over. It's up from 10. And the under originally was getting not so much juice, so better odds. This is honestly weird. You know, they got Spencer Watkins on the mound for the Orioles. He's still pretty bad. Both pitchers have at least a 5.5 ERA or higher. 6.04 for Bundy, 5.63 for Watkins. And look, I think the over's in play. And if I look at the first five, ooh, my goodness. First five over 5.5. That's crazy. My bookie has it at 6. Under 6 getting minus 110 treatment. Over 5.5 over on BetMGM getting minus 125. That is just nuts. Absolutely bonkers. A lot of folks are looking to support Baltimore. So their first five looks at plus 120 on the money line. You know, if this was a left-handed pitcher, I know Dylan Bundy's terrible, but if this was a left-handed pitcher, I'd be all over it. Baltimore's just not doing it for me, especially against the righties. Cedric Mullins is like the only thing that offers anything. They got two guys under 200, under the Mendoza line. Pedro Severino hits 233. Mountcastle, Mancini, they hit right around 260. So, I mean, not looking to see anything too bright in this spot. I wanted to look out some team totals, but again, it's Dylan Bundy. I give pause because the Orioles are going against a righty. Their team total set at 4.5. You know, if it was 3.5, I think I would have jumped on it. But it looks like that Vegas is relying on Baltimore to, and wow, their money line is dropping like crazy. It was literally just at plus 125. It's at plus 110 now. Like literally when I just started talking about this. So if you want to support an underdog, I think Baltimore is probably the best one tonight. I'm going to wrap up the MLB talk with a game featuring Detroit and St. Louis, Casey Mize, Jack Flaherty. This is a rematch of the 2006 World Series. I think it was 2006. Let's see. Computing, trying to get my database archives pulled up. Let's see, 2006. I would have been in, my freshman year was 2007. And I remember being in middle school when these two teams played. So, yeah, 2005, 2006 season. I think that sounds right. 2005, the White Sox won it. 2006, the Cards won it, I believe. Yeah. think that's how it works. Look, this is gonna be a good game. We got Casey Mize, we got Jack Flaherty, which Flaherty's been untouchable like he was before his IL stint, after he's gotten back off of it. And I think that both pitchers are gonna come out and have a really good day. And let me go ahead and take the under in the first five at 4.5. It's getting -120 shade over at BetMGM. Jack Flaherty's just been way, way too good. Fact of the matter, though, I'm a Cubs fan. I think this is number 33 on the year, 34 maybe. I just can't back Cardinals right now. I just can't. I'm leaving the NL Central alone in regards to supporting those other teams. Because when you lose a bet and then you're a Cubs fan and you're trying to support other teams in the division, like, A, it feels weird. But B, it's like an extra burn because it's like, of course, like you a-holes, like, of course you would do that. You know, it's like you have this double negative vision on them now. So I don't have a good look on the Cards, like sides. You know, I'm not looking to play a side here. And then I think the Detroit Magic, you know, that we were riding for a while in the wager pass and the show is a little done now. So I think if anything, we should support the pitchers. And I think looking at like a first five under makes sense. St. Louis's offense has struggled. Detroit's offense does struggle against righties. So if anything, I may look just first five and leave the full game out of it. But as of right now, I got to lean on first five under and full game under. I think it just kind of is a ho-hum cruising game where lots of outs are made. Inefficient offenses, bad batting. Let's wrap it up with the Dodgers and the Padres. Padres just fired their pitching coach. He's put like more pitchers on the IL than anyone. Larry Rothschild. The Padres didn't have injuries or major pitcher elbow injuries like they did. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Before Larry Rothschild, the Padres pitchers did not have this amount of terrible season-ending, career-changing injuries. And what the problem comes from is, or where the problem comes from is, Rothschild loves off-speed stuff. He loves sliders. He loves sinking fastballs. I know sinking fastball is not off-speed technically, but it's an offshoot of the fastball. Changes the arm angle a little, the grip. You know, sliders, curveballs, big 12-6 swooping curveballs. You know, if a pitcher does not have a slider in his arsenal, he forces that pitcher to learn how to do it. I think, you know, between Steve Clevenger's arm issues last year, I think with Yu Darvish showing regression, you look at some of the other big names that have been put on the shelf with arm issues for them. It's just very evident that something needed to change. And with how their pitchers have been pitching, starters and bullpen alike, he wasn't a good pitching coach at the time. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Larry Rothschild. He's been in the major league as a pitching coach for, I mean, almost double what I've been alive on this earth. So I can't really say much. Like that might be an exaggeration. Like he hasn't been in the majors for 60 years, but you get what I'm saying. He's been doing it long enough to know that if he's screwing a guy's arm up, he should know. And well, the Padres had to make a change. Yu Darvish is going today, who's been pretty bad, pretty rank. If I shall be blunt, he's going against Urias. Julio Urias. The main guy, well, I can't say the main guy for the Dodgers, but I mean, he is just ho-hum. He does what he needs to. And right now, the Dodgers opened at -120. They're at -130 on the money line. This is pure value alone. I mean, the Dodgers are playing good right now. The Padres are not. Sure, the Dodgers are on the road. They're going against Yu Darvish. Sure, whatever. One offense is doing better than the others right now. One team did not just fire their pitcher's coach. One team is not spiraling. One team is probably going to win this division, and it's the Dodgers. So Dodgers at minus 130, we're not going to see that too many times throughout the course of the season. I think we've gotten an opportunity to cash minus 130 to minus 150 money line plays on the Dodgers like once or twice this year. Look, minus 130. And it's creeping. It could be at minus 140, minus 150 before first pitch. And this is the chase game. It's 10:10 Eastern time. It's going to be on ESPN. And I might need this one with the way the picks and stuff have been going lately. So I'm looking at the Dodgers. And if anything else in this game, I would look at perhaps the over 8 because San Diego's just been terrible with their bullpen lately. There's no first 5 lines set yet. And I doubt we're going to have, so there's no team total set either, this being a game that happens 11 hours from now. So those are my first preliminary thoughts on that stuff. I want to talk a little bit about college football week 0, and then we need to wrap this bad boy up. I'm going to talk a couple of the lines and a couple of the angles that I'm looking to perhaps lean on. And I've got an underdog that I really like already in week 1. Week 0, if you shall. So Saturday, 8/28, August 28th, we got ground zero, week 0 football. All right, so let's just kind of start. This is going to be like a dusting. Like, I'm not doing any deep, deep dives. I've got pages and pages and pages of notes on all these teams. Waiting to be transcribed to digital because I am going to do a full week 0 preview for all the games. This first, segment of the college football season, I'm going to break it down. I'm going to give you a betting guide, where to watch it, how to watch it, what to watch for. You'd be surprised, but there's not a lot of people really scrubbed and fresh on University of Connecticut Huskies football. But I tell you what, I am. So this is essentially going to be me glossing at numbers, kind of talking about the market moves, talking about what I think is going to happen, and kind of I'm going to give you some of my leans, but I don't want to give too much out because, well, I'm excited for this because it's a national holiday. It's the return of college football. And I want y'all to be able to dig into that article here later in the week once I get it up and really take it in. So Nebraska and Illinois, we got a Big Ten game starting us off at 1 p.m. on Fox this Saturday. And the Illinois Fighting Illini are the home underdogs. They are getting a round number of 7. This line opened in the early parts of summer at -9.5 for the Cornhuskers. The Cornhuskers are under investigation now. Unpopular opinion in the Lincoln area. Maybe not. I don't know. I've never been to Lincoln. But I don't think Scott Frost is the guy. I don't. I think he caught lightning in a bottle in UCF. He had some good foundational pieces over there. He built decently, but then it was easy to take the Nebraska job because I think he knew where his trajectory was going to go. Nebraska's facing sanctions, and they ain't even really got any impressive recruiting rankings in. So he's cheating, allegedly. The school is cheating, allegedly. And they're not even getting any results. So they're trying to get a leg up, and they still can't stand. So Illinois, I just want to say that this team has a lot of NFL talent on it. Between both lines, their linebacking core, they return a really strong-armed quarterback. Look, I said I didn't want to give too much away, and this is going to be a free article, so it doesn't matter if I really spill too much of my Easter egg beans here, but Illinois plus 220 on the money line? This is... Look, I don't know how to put this, but I like Illinois. I do. I like them with the points. I'm going to be taking the points. +7 is still getting shade of -115. So lots of faith is being lost on Nebraska. Like, Nebraska's got a dynamic quarterback. They had a really down year last year. They got all this stuff in place. They got a decent recruiting class that came in. Sure. They're Nebraska. They're in the Big Ten. But they're the bowels of the Big Ten. Like, they are the toilet paper that was used to be wiped on the undercarriage of, like, Ohio State and Northwestern even. This Nebraska team is terrible. I don't believe in Scott Frost. There's a lot of times that we've seen the school's golden child, like their beautiful quarterback or like one of their main key players, come in and try to lead them back to the glory days. And it just doesn't work. And that's okay. That's okay. I mean, Oklahoma State's gotten lucky with, you know, like Mike Gundy, but they've not won a national championship. They've barely been in play for a Big 12 championship since his tenure's been there. And, like, he's just done a whole lot of winning. Like, he's had a lot of average years. He's done a whole lot of double-digit wins. But ultimately, it's consistent. Scott Frost isn't offering any kind of consistency or trajectory, in my opinion. This is year three. This is the year – it's like – or I think it's technically four. But it's like a make-or-break year for new coaches, right? Year three is when we expect them to be – okay, now their system's implemented, their recruits are in, let's go. I still just don't see it with Nebraska. I don't like what I'm seeing with in regards to what they return, the coaching staff around Scott Frost. I think this program and this college right now, athletically speaking, is just kind of in the dumps. So with that being said, it makes so much sense for me to look and see where the market was going, see where they're still opinionated at, and lean with the home underdog that's returning NFL talent linebackers. They got two linebackers that could be in the NFL. They got two guys on the defensive line that could be in the NFL. I think four of their five starters on the offensive line could be in the NFL. They return a dynamic backfield. They got guys that could probably be sixth or seventh round draft picks at the least in the back, the running back position. And don't forget, Illinois brought in Brent Bielema. Say what you want about his tenure down in Arkansas in the SEC, but year in, year out, that was a challenging task. And before that, you look at how much winning he did at Wisconsin, of all places. I think he went to three straight Rose Bowls or something like that. He went to three or four total Rose Bowls. The guy's a winner. He's got coaching pedigree on his staff. He's got NFL talent in his lineup. He's got NFL talent in his coaching staff. And then, former NFL head coach Lovie Smith had him set up with some good pieces coming into this. So, you know what? I'm looking at the NFL caliber of talent and coaching, and Illinois sticks out. They stick out in this game. Then, at 2:00 on the CBS Sports Network, we got the UConn Huskies taking on the Fresno State Bulldogs. Fresno State -27.5. Home favorites. 62.5 is the total. There's been no movement on that. I will backtrack and say that 55.5 was the opener for Illinois. And Nebraska, it has come down a hook to an even 55. If you watch the Fantasy Footballers, then you understand where that reference is coming from. Anyways. So 27.5 is a lot of points, but UConn did not play football last year. The year before that, they were probably the worst Division I college football team for the last year and a half before the COVID year last year. Fresno State is dangerous this year. I just want to point out they are returning a lot of guys. They are returning a ton of talent, and then where people are going to maybe overlook them is the defensive side of the ball. But I feel that Fresno State's pass rush and their linebacking play is going to be key early in the season as they get rolling. I feel that this is a game that Fresno State comes in, controls. But, you know, I talked the way I did about UConn and their team, but they actually got some good pieces in and back. And, you know, a lot of production from the better years before the COVID stuff. You know, they've had a couple of weird years here. And they got a coach that coached them to prior success back in Randy Edsall. And if you remember Edsall, like, he had this team in a New York Six Bowl in 2014. So getting back to the glory days, we'll see how the second tenure goes. I think this year is going to be a little rough for UConn, obviously. 27.5 is a lot of points. And as of right now on the side, I just cannot lock in. I want to see starting quarterbacks named first. We're starting to see that with a lot of schools here. And if anything, over 62.5 offers some water weight for me, and it's holding on to some value there because Fresno State, their offense alone is going to be dynamic and firing. It's just a little weird with these first games trying to go the over because it's like, well, we don't – yeah, it's like the first game action for all the offenses and the continuity and all that chemistry. So – UConn, I think, is going to have a chance to put up, you know, like 20 points because Fresno State's going to be scoring so much. I talked about Fresno State's defense being upgraded, but they still got a lot of work to do, and it's the first game of the year. And Connecticut, like I said, they returned some stuff on the offensive side of the ball, and they got some places or pieces in place that make a lot of sense for them to maybe have some positive regression, So it opened at 25.5. And is now 27.5. So let's mind that movement. Vegas set it lower for a reason. If it gets to 28, I think that's a great round number. If it gets to 28, I'm going to jump on it and take the points and ride with the Huskies in the week zero game against the Bulldogs. More to come on that game. There'll be more written content than me speaking about it today. Hawaii and UCLA. This is going to be a very exciting game. It's going to be fun. It's 3:30 on ESPN this Saturday. UCLA returning Dorian Thompson-Robinson, returning all sorts of guys in the backfield. They got some dynamic playmakers. Their defense is going to have to step up or something, though. Their linebackers are a mess. They brought in some JUCO guys last year that got some starting reps. Their number one tackler ended up being one of those JUCO transfers that came in. Hawaii, though. Whoo, Hawaii. If you haven't done any previewing or reading or brushing up on Hawaii, do yourself a favor. Get yourself a Phil Steele magazine. I think he's still got copies of it out in Barnes & Nobles. And try to get you a digital copy if you can't get a physical copy. But just go through, read up on Hawaii. They return so much. They've got a lot of good talent. They didn't lose that much. And I think their defense is going to give UCLA trouble, maybe at least for the first half. UCLA's got a decent secondary coming in. They've got some very talented players on the defensive line. They've got continuity on the coaching staff. I say that, but this is Todd Graham's, I think it's technically his second year coming over from Arizona State, where he was with them from 2014 to 2017. Look at what they did as a defense in those years. He had dynamic playmakers like Inno Benjamin in the backfield down there in where is Arizona State at? I was going to say Tucson, but that's Arizona, obviously. Arizona State, where are they located? I usually know these things. Shame on me. Anywho, Arizona State was humming with Todd Graham down there. I love this hire as a coach. They get some offensive linemen back. They get some key leaders back. They got a strong arm quarterback. They got a dual threat quarterback. They've got a smart quarterback. So I think UCLA definitely cannot overlook Hawaii here. I know Hawaii's off of the island, but they're just coming into California. So if anything, it's closer than what they could have done. And I think this is going to be a hard-fought game, and I don't know how much stock to take into this opening number of +9.5 for the Warriors. I mean, it's gone all the way up to 18. I don't know if that +9.5 was maybe a weird preseason look or whatever, but it's saying that that's where it opened, and right now it's at 18. So, I mean, folks thought very early on that Hawaii was less than a 10-point underdog on the road against UCLA. And I think their defense is going to be huge. Dorian Thompson-Robinson had a lot of turnover issues, and that offensive line needs to do a better job of protecting him. They got a lot of stuff to prove, and they're going to have a tough task, I think, in the trenches. And the totals come down from 70 to 68.5. I think we're going to see a lot of running, a lot of run game stuff, a lot of play action, a lot of quarterback runs. 68.5, that total, 65 is kind of like my number on this one, just with what I'm seeing coming back in defensive efforts for Hawaii. I really like Hawaii in this week zero game on the points, you know, on the spread, not the money line. That's a little tall. I think, oh yeah, there. Yeah. One more. Here we go. Okay, I kind of got mismatched there. Okay, so this one is kind of just a easy one, in my opinion. New Mexico State. I think they were one of three college teams last year that did not play football. Them, UConn, and Old Dominion all opted out of their seasons. And New Mexico State was pretty terrible before that. So looking at UTEP, because it's the primary focus here, trying to figure out what they brought back, how good they're expecting to be. UTEP opened at -7.5. The current line is 9 or 9.5. BetMGM has it at 9.5. I 88% of the money already coming in on UTEP, University of Texas El Paso. I used to live down the street from this fine university when I was in the United States Army down at Fort Bliss, a really amazing stadium, really cool to drive around the curve of the highway. You got Juarez, Ciudad, Chihuahua on your left on the south side, and then you're sandwiched between on the north side, the UTEP stadium, the Sun Bowl. So very cool, very great football stadium. This game is going to be played at New Mexico State, though, which is not that far off. I think Las Cruces is where New Mexico State is, and it's like maybe a 40-minute drive at most from El Paso. So lots of money coming in on UTEP, deservedly so. And look, the fact of the matter is they got some bruising backs, and the coach that they got in place here is all about physicality. I think the trajectory of UTEP is pretty decent. They had a really good year last year. Speaking on terms of program success and historically speaking, they are -290 on the money line in most spots. 54.5 is the total. It opened at 56.5. I could definitely see under 50 in this game. And it looks like PointsBet still has the 56.5 out there. There's 57s in some spots. Bovada's got 57. Under 57 at -115. Bam, that's the best value right there. I went ahead and looked. So DraftKings, PointsBet, BetMGM, Bovada, FanDuel, SugarHouse, 888 Sport, FoxBet, Bet365, Caesars, and UniBet. Out of all those books, Bovada has under 57 at -115, and those are the best odds. So you got to shop around. You do. I mean, we would prefer that you use our affiliate and our sponsor, MyBookie. But if you've already got an account with them and you've already used that promo code, thank you, by the way, two times. You've got to diversify and you've got to shop around. Just getting those savings on the juice and the odds, it's a make or break kind of thing on some days. It's important. It is. It's a part of the research. It's a part of becoming a savvy sports bettor and just taking in data. You know, it's one of those things that you just got to roll with. So long story short, I just really like UTEP here. There is crazy juice on the money line at -285, 2.85 units just to return one. I get it. I'm not recommending that. Like, I'm not trying to sell you on that. It's not going to be in the premium. Personally speaking, if I see money on the table, I'm going to grab it. If everyone else is done eating and they left food on the table, I'm going to eat it, because that's the type of person I am. So -285 for someone that I think not only wins, but wins handily and they cover the spread. To me, there's still value in that. I know. And it's a new approach that I've taken into my gaming approach, my betting approach. If people leave scraps on the table and you're still hungry, keep eating, you know? So that speaks volumes to me. I think UTEP could definitely be a good 2 or 3 leg parlay piece on that day. And really looking forward to this week zero stuff. Fresno State on the money line. Yeah, no, that's, we're not even talking about that. You know, maybe like a UCLA, UTEP. Nah, UCLA is 7-14. Some of these things are just like ridiculous. So the best money line you can get for UCLA is with Fox Bet, and that is -714. So I'm not going to go off on trying to suggest that to you and figuring out what 2 or 3 other legs to put it with. That's not worth either one of our time. But I'm just ready for college football. I hope you are too, because we're going to have lots of content on it. Speaking of content, Wager Pass will be up shortly. We got some plays to get loaded in there for you. Free play of the day lost yesterday, thanks to yours truly. I am just not doing well with these free plays. I think I've lost my last 4. Today, we will have it back up and going. We'll have one of our pros making a pick. And that's the way we're going to leave it. Wager Pass will be up. College Football Week Zero article will be up this week. You'll have some scrubbing to do, giving you some homework. Read about Hawaii. Coffee. So, with that being said, let me bid you adieu. Send you all of my good vibes. Sending you all of my positive energies. I hope that you have a great, wonderful, safe day. Make sure to help someone out. Be kind out there for someone if you can be. If you need something good to happen to you, I am hoping that it happens for you. It will happen for you. So help someone out. Let positivity come into your life. I am thinking of you. I appreciate y'all listening. Really, really enjoy doing this. So thank you for all the reviews, all the kind words, all the interaction. Been getting a bunch of new followers lately. So if you followed me recently, thank you so much. I need to put together like a list of folks that have been interacting with me lately and just things that I need to shout out on the show, because honestly, there's a lot. So I got a lot of love to offer, and it's all love over here. So with that being said, today in sports betting is out.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.